But it's interesting listening to Pastor JP talk about the similarities in our jobs. I realize more than ever, there's so many similarities between a pastor and being a police officer. When you're training to be a police officer, you memorize something called the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics. And there's four paragraphs, and you have to memorize it and be able to recite it under stress and so on. But the first paragraph reads, "As a law enforcement officer, my fundamental duty is to serve mankind, to safeguard lives and property, to protect the innocent against deception, the weak against oppression or intimidation, and the peaceful against violence or disorder, and to respect the constitutional rights of all men to liberty, equality, and justice." I memorized that 22 years ago, and that's pretty good, right? I still remember that. But a police officer's fundamental duty is to serve mankind and to safeguard lives and property. And Pastor JP, his job is to serve mankind and to safeguard lives and souls. And I tell him all the time, I'm like, man, your job's way worse than mine. And he still asks occasionally if he can have a gun, which I thought was kind of strange. But we are in our study here about relationships. This is part three, and we're talking about relationships at work. So if you would, you bow your head with me as we pray and get ourselves started and get us prayed up. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that we have the opportunity to gather and first praise your name through song. And I ask you now, Lord, that we serve this time in your word as a form of worship, and that we would listen intently to what you might have to say. There are people that are here this morning that are listening, that are hoping to hear something from you, Lord. In desperation, one way or another, they're hoping to hear something. Lord, I pray that they would hear that. I pray that we would block out the distraction that are going on around us, and we would just spend this time listening to your word as if we were sitting across the table hearing your word come right from you. We thank you. We love you. Amen. So this is part three of our study. It's all about relationships. And part one, Pastor Kenny talked about going all in relationships. And going all in relationships means you have to take risks. And the story that he told the Good Samaritan had to be willing to take a risk on somebody to help somebody in need. Last week, Pastor JP talked about all the passages that references how we are to treat one another. And the number one command that's given with regard to how we're to treat one another is we're supposed to love one another. The second most common command, and it's real important that we remember that these are commands, that we're to love one another. Second most common command in the Bible is that we're to encourage one another. So this week's passage, we find ourselves in Colossians 3. As we continue to get inspired by the Apostle Paul, in the Colossians 3, he talks about Christian living. And then he goes and he talks about the focus that we have at work. Paul's saying that we have a new life in Christ, and the old self is dead. If we have a new life in Christ, there's things that are to be made new. The context of our study is the new relationship that we have as a result of this new life in Christ. So if you have your Bible, you can open it up to Colossians 3. If you don't, it'll be up on the screen for you. I just wanna kind of give you just a brief summary of leading up to our main passage starting in chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3:1 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful." And then to our primary passages that we're going to be talking about today, beginning in verse 22. "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes are on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart and working for the Lord, not your human master, since you know that you will receive inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism." So Paul, in this chapter, is following a pattern. The beginning of the first third of the chapter, he talks of kind of general Christian living, how we are to live, how we are to be peacemakers. In the middle of the chapter, he talks about how we're to be in our homes. He talks to husbands and wives and children and parents. And then he takes one step outside of the home and he talks about what our life is to like to be at work. More specifically, what our life looks like as an employee. So we ask ourselves, as a believer, as a Christ follower, what should our lives be like at work? Now, when I say at work, even if you don't have a job, you do some type of work. You have some type of vocation. I was visiting with some, as I was walking around, there's students that are here. There's athletes that are here. There's teachers that are here. There's small business owner. Fred mentioned that he's a small business owner, right? There's salesmen. There's all kinds. There's police officers. There's stay-at-home moms. Probably you operate in some type of formal or informal structure where you deal with people, where you have somebody that you would describe as your peer or somebody that works for you or somebody that you work for. You operate somewhere in that type of organizational structure. You heard that I'm on Orange County with the Orange County Sheriff's Department. I'm a captain. We're a paramilitary environment. We have a very formal structure. You can draw it up on a board. I can tell you exactly whom I report to and who reports to me and who my peers are. So along those same lines, when we're talking about this structure, where we are at work, the first question I want to ask you, or you to ask yourself, is up on the board. How do I represent myself at work? I want you to read that with me. How do I represent myself at work? Now, when I say how you represent yourself to others, not how you think you represent yourself to others. You know, there's a difference, right? So I'll give you a little example for me. So I have this problem when communicating with people. And when I'm talking to someone, I don't do a real good job giving feedback with my face, right? There's something broken up here. I don't know what it is. And the people that hear me teach on a regular basis are going, yeah, he's right. He makes that face. But seriously, when somebody's talking to me, I'm just kind of listening and I'm being sincere. I'm enjoying what they're saying, but there's something going on up here with me where I don't give a lot of feedback. And here's what it looks like. Here's what I think it looks like. Right? Here's what it actually looks like. And JP told you I'm 6 foot Sasquatch and that doesn't help either, right? I was walking back and visiting with some people, a new person. She came up and she was like, oh my gosh, you're so tall. But the other thing is when I'm talking to somebody and maybe I'm not super comfortable with what they're saying, you know, something happens to my forehead and my eyebrows go up and I kind of make this face. This is Mrs. Park's favorite, by the way. You figured out you're sitting by my wife because you just heard her say, ha, right? The other one, and I had people tell me this, like, man, your face doesn't move and you don't blink. And they said something about, I have Charles Manson eyes. I don't know what that means. I don't think it's a good thing. And I'm joking a little bit, but really that's how I project myself in those situations. I'm not saying anything, but I'm saying something. Because when we ask ourselves that question, how we represent ourselves, we're representing something. We're projecting something from the people that we interact with, regardless of what we do. Even if we're doing nothing, we're doing something. Last week, Pastor JP referenced John 7:38, and the passage says, whoever believes in me will have rivers of living water flowing from within them. And I don't know if he did this in 11 o'clock service, but in the 9 o'clock service, he walked around and he says, and you should be splashing on people. You should be splashing rivers of living water. Well, maybe we're splashing rivers of living water on somebody, or maybe we're splashing something else, but we're splashing something. We're putting off something. People are picking up what we're putting down, whatever it is. There's people that work around you, maybe they splash negativity. They splash complacency. They splash dishonesty. Maybe they splash gossip. They splash all these different things. But we're splashing something. And we want to be splashing waves of living water within the relationships that we have. Matthew 5:14-15 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We are to be lights. We are to be lights. If we're a light that's covered, we're dark. If I had a flashlight up here and I turned it on, I pointed out and I covered it up, I might as well shut it off because it's dark. We are called to be light. Jesus is suggesting and telling us to know the truth means that's what it's like to live out our Christian faith in relationships. The greatest lessons we ever learned from Jesus was how he related with people. In fact, that's how we learned to live like Jesus, was to see how he related with people. And he related with people that people didn't think you should relate with. The blind, the sick, the lame, the lazy, the children, the widow, the prostitute, everybody. So back to the main part of our passage here in Colossians 3:22. It says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves what is right and fair because you know that you also have a master in heaven." So we're gonna park ourselves right there in verses 22 and 23. So the first point I wanna make is that passage that says that obey your earthly masters in everything, not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor. Their first point is I'm to give my all the time. I'm to give my all the time. 1 Timothy 4:14-15, Paul says to Timothy, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy. When the body of elders laid their hands on you, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress." He's talking to Timothy. He's talking to Timothy within the context of Timothy, what Timothy does. Timothy's an evangelism. Timothy's a missionary. He's a church planter. This is what Timothy does. This is Timothy's work, what he does. He's telling him to do holy, give yourself holy. One of my biggest fears, especially in my life in ministry, is to not give myself holy, is to be mediocre. I hate that word, right? It's like lukewarm. There's something awful about that word. I don't know how effective and efficient I can be in my work and ministry, but I want to be as good as I can be because I don't want to be mediocre. I want to give myself wholly. So I want to give my all the time. Secondly, the passage says, with sincerity of heart. With sincerity of heart. Point number two, I'm to give my all sincerely. To give my all sincerely. In preparing for my study, I wanted to drill down just a little bit on this word sincere. So the English word sincere comes from the Latin words. There's two words. So the first is sine or sign. It's without. And sera is wax. So the English word sincerity in Latin means without wax. It was described like that because people that were in the pottery business or they would make things, they'd fashion things to sell as merchandise, if they were reputable, if they sold genuine merchandise, they would advertise their merchandise to be sine sera, without wax. Because what would happen in ancient times is the dishonest merchants is they would take wax and they would cover up all the imperfections. Right? They'd cover up all the improprieties so that they would make it look like that whatever they were selling was actually better than it really was. When you apply that same illustration to our lives, we're not only to do everything we're supposed to do and do it our best, but represent ourselves in an honest way, to be sincere about what we do, to allow the flaws to be seen and not represent ourselves different than what we really are. The third point is doing what we do with reverence for the Lord. With reverence for the Lord. The third point is I am to remember who I really work for. Paul is reminding us that yes, you have a boss and you work for your boss, you got another boss. Your boss in heaven. You have a servant in heaven that you work for, and you're to treat your servant on earth, being reminded that you serve a God in heaven. There's nothing more, nothing better to be at work and knowing why you're at work. You know, there's been times when you're at work, you're having difficult times, you don't want to be there, and you think, you know, I'm here because I'm providing for my family. This is what I'm doing. You endure difficult times, you know, I can endure these difficult times because I'm providing for my family. When we apply these passages within the context of what we're talking about, even in the difficult times, maybe we have a difficult boss, right? But that's not our boss that we're serving overall. We have this eternal boss in heaven. The third point is with regards to, the fourth point is who do we necessarily apply these concepts to? I ask you, who does this apply to? It's kind of a trick question because it applies to everybody. But I know that there's somebody sitting out here that's thinking about that one person that you work with that these rules should not apply to. The one who finishes, no, he doesn't finish the coffee. He leaves just enough coffee so that there's coffee, but there's not really coffee there. Do you know who I'm talking about, right? But there's that person you're thinking about that's too difficult to work with. He or she makes life too difficult. Jason, I don't think these rules should apply to that person. Well, they apply to everybody, and that's pretty common sense to us. But that's really what the difference between us and our faith is, that we are to get along with those folks. When the world is saying, no, objectively speaking, we're not supposed to get along with those people. We're not supposed to treat them fairly. We're not supposed to treat them nicely. We're supposed to get along with them. Even the people that we don't want to get along with. Matthew 5:46 says, if you love those who love you, what will your reward get you? Aren't not the tax collectors even doing that? Jesus is saying that it's easy to love the people that love you. It's easy to love the people that are lovable. It's the people that aren't lovable that are difficult to love. Amen. And those are the people that we deal with on occasion. Because you'll see what Paul is talking about. He recognizes that work is difficult. He recognizes that sometimes that situations are difficult, right? So it applies to everyone and it applies in every situation. I was reminded of an interaction that I had not too long ago with somebody that I work for, right? And I got a phone call on a Friday afternoon, late on like 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. And it's somebody that I work for. And right out of the gate, I can tell that he's not super happy with me, right? By the tone of the conversation. He starts asking me questions that I know he knows the answers to. Right? Anybody have people like that that you work for? And he's asking them so fast, I can't even answer the questions. And he's coming in hot, right? And I'm starting to get frustrated because the things that he's bringing up are relatively insignificant. It seems like a silly Friday conversation for me. And a little bit of backstory, I'm not at work. I'm being called when it's not a day that I'm supposed to be at work. Not because it's my day off, it's a vacation day, right? And not like I'm on vacation. I took a vacation day because of some things I'm having to deal with some health crisis in my family. So I'm not in a good mood for this conversation, right? I am not thinking holy thoughts at this moment. But I'm letting him go. And the only thing I know to do at the time is I hit mute on my phone. Because if mute's on and I have a freak out, he's not going to hear it. And I don't want to hear the noises that are coming out of my body. It's the sound of like grinding teeth and heavy breathing, right? I sound like I'm in my wife's yoga class, right? In yoga, you do this thing called ujjayi breathing, right? It's supposed to do something good with air. To me, it's just the sound I make right when I get ready to run out of air, right? So the good thing is he talks for a little bit longer and it allows me to kind of collect my thoughts because maybe like the ujjayi breathing is helping and I'm slipping into a more, you know, calm reaction. So he stops and he says, are you there? So I turn the mute off. I said, yeah, I'm here. And he says, well, are you going to say anything? I said, I was just waiting for you to finish. And he says, well, I'm finished. Well, are you going to say something? So I had three options in the moment. So option one was the safest, you know, yes, sir, no, sir, I'm sorry, sir, more tea, sir, whatever it was, right? Option number two was the one I really wanted to employ. JP talked about how we respond how we feel. I wanted to respond how I felt, because I felt like this is a green light for me. I get to light up my boss. He's calling me on my day off. It's a vacation day. I'm not in a good mood. This is a so on. I don't respond that way because I had time and I did the ujjayi breathing thing. So he says, well, and I said, is everything okay? And I've known him for a little while. I said, is everything okay? And he says, why? And I said, well, first of all, everything you just said, I'll take care of. It'll probably take me all of 2 phone calls in 20 minutes, which is why I'm asking you if everything's okay, because this isn't stuff you're usually that fired up about. And this is like stuff we talk about over coffee on Monday morning, so I'm assuming something else is going on. And then it gets quiet. I put mute back on because I'm thinking, here it comes, right? And basically he, you know, takes it down a peg and he's like, I'm sorry. And he explains to me why he's frustrated. Because I knew there was something, he's frustrated about something else, right? And he says he's sorry. I said, I'm sorry. And, you know, and so on and so on and so on. But that was a tough moment for me. I'll be honest with you. I got off the phone and I was like, I felt guilty about the stuff I wanted to say. Like, it felt like I'd said it, right? Like, I should have been high-fiving thinking, yay, I still get to keep my job because I didn't say those awful things to my boss. But it was close for me. And because usually I do okay in those situations at work and in dealing with people. But those are the situations. That, and I'll give you, I wasn't praying. You know, I was praying, but I didn't know I was praying because I was, you know, grinding my teeth and breathing heavy. But I really count that, you know, God allowed me to just take a deep breath and deal with that situation. Because not only we called to deal with difficult people, but we called to deal in different situations. And in those relationships, you know, they have to manifest something. So like I said, we're splashing something. When people look at the way we interact with people, whether you're looking at that situation, it's a private conversation where nobody saw it, or somebody else saw a conversation and they're gonna react to that. They see something. We're splashing something. We should be splashing the fruits of the Spirit. We should be splashing love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness, the fruits of the Spirit. I say that intently, the fruits of the Spirit, because it's not me. That's not gonna come from me. I'm taking option number two and my head's gonna explode. You know, Fred on the video is talking about how he's having a difficult time at work and he wants to respond one way. He shows up here to a Get Healthy class. He prays with his guys and he ends up responding in a way that's more productive. And what happens? The situation solves itself more clearly. But that fruits of the Spirit, that's what Pastor JP calls us working out what God works in. Amen? Us working out what God works in. But it's work. It's work. You got to be intentional. We have to be intentional in that work. Colossians 3, verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Paul's talking about a uniform. Paul's talking about a uniform, just like when he talks about the full armor of God. He's talking about this in our relationships at work. You know, we all got dressed today, right? We all spent time picking out what we were going to dress. We had to be intentional about what we were going to wear. Paul's saying the same thing. You got to be intentional about wearing compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. When do you need those things? Not in happy times, right? Not in easy times. You need gentleness, compassion, patience, and kindness in difficult times. And why do you need that? So that we can bear with one another and forgive one another. Paul acknowledges the fact that relationships are difficult. We have difficulty in difficult times. But our uniform, it doesn't go on itself. It doesn't happen by itself. We have to be intentional about it. The final point is to keep focused on what needs to be in focus. To keep focused on what needs to be in focus. A friend of mine has a saying in his business, he says, the key to success is focus. Because when you focus on everything, you don't focus on anything. It's kind of like the saying, if everything's important, nothing's important. I think the exact quote, if everything's a priority, nothing's a priority. But we need to keep in focus. And what I'm saying here today is what's in focus is that our relationships are representing, are splashing the love of Jesus. That's what's focused on. That's what we focus on in our relationships. The easy times, the difficult times. That we're focusing on the love of Jesus. We're focusing on Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That we fix our eyes upon Jesus, and that's how we run the race with perseverance. Paul acknowledging that the race we're in, it requires perseverance. In order for us to have perseverance, how does that show up? It shows up when we fix our eyes upon Jesus. When we focus on Jesus, everything else gets out of focus. When we focus on Jesus, the world gets out of focus. We focus on Jesus, the bad stuff, the insignificant stuff, the less important stuff gets out of focus. When we teach police officers to shoot, Pastor JP shared with you that in addition to me being a police officer, I spent 13 years on the SWAT team, so got to shoot a variety of weapons. But when we teach somebody how to shoot the weapon on the end of the barrel, whether it's a handgun or rifle, it has a sight, some type of element that we refer to as a sight. Every boy in the room knows exactly what I'm talking about right now, amen? So, and some girls too. There's nothing wrong with girls having guns. But we teach them to bring their sight up on target, right? And match the sight with their target. And when you first teach somebody how to do that, one of three things happens. They bring their sight up on target, and then they focus so much on the target that they lose focus on the sight. The sight's where the round's going, right? They're focused on the target, not the sight they're gonna miss. Second thing they do most frequently is they try to focus on both things. They focus on the sight and the target. Now they're not focused on either. They're more likely to miss. What we tell them to do is focus so intently on your sight that your target gets out of focus. Because that sight, that's the thing you need to be focused on. That's where your round's going. But you have to focus on what's important. When we focus on what's important, the stuff that's not important gets out of focus. The stuff that's not important falls to the priority where it should be falling to. We focus on the things that we're supposed to be focused on. There's a great hymn. It's one of my favorites. And as I was being reminded of this passage in Hebrew and getting reminded of this hymn, I pulled it up. It's almost 100 years old. It's written 1922. It's 95 years old. The hymn's called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And it reads, turn your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Look, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So we got six hints, six little nuggets on what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to interact with people at work. And they're up on the board, just a quick summary. I give my all the time. I give my all sincerely. I remember who I really work for. I remember who I work with. I remember to wear my uniform. I remember to keep focus on what needs to be in focus. So you look at those six things and you think, well, how do I remember all those? Or what's most important? This is no different than when the expert of the law came up to Jesus and he said, which of the commandments is most important? Right? And Jesus said, all the commandments hang on this. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbors yourself. And Paul gives us a great summary of these six comments that I just made in verse 14 of Colossians 3, verse 14 and 15. It says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Amen? Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder of this this area of the Bible that we are called to live out our faith in all of our relationships, not just with our wives, not just with our kids, not just with our neighbors, but with everybody, Lord. And more importantly, we are called to live out our faith at work. I pray for the relationships at work right now that are struggling. I pray that there be people here that are energized and in a way that can restore those relationships. So those relationships can be made new, just like our lives were made new. We thank you, Lord, for the constant reminder of your love and your forgiveness and your patience and your gentleness and your kindness toward, Lord. I pray that it would splash off of us onto people that are around us. We thank you, we love you,